Hi, this is Suzanne, and today we unwrap the rich brown paint, popular among the Pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood, known as Mummy Brown. You're listening to the Whispering Gallery of Spooky Art Stories. Egypt, 1922. The British protectorate over Egypt was terminated, and Egypt was declared to be an independent sovereign state. This was called the Unilateral Declaration of Egyptian Independence. A new king led the country as the Whispering Sands shifted across the dunes. In November 1922, an archaeological expedition to the sand-swept Valley of the Kings, funded by Lord Carnarvon, found something remarkable. Howard Carter, an archaeologist, along with Lord Carnarvon, were the first to see inside the untouched tomb, number KV-62, which was located low enough to be hidden by debris. Could this have been why it was still intact? Carter wrote in his diary, "With trembling hands, I made a tiny breach in the upper left-hand corner. Widening the hole a little, I inserted the candle and peered in. At first, I could see nothing, the hot air escaping from the chamber causing the candle to flicker. Presently, details of the room emerged slowly from the mist, strange animal statues, and gold, everywhere the glint of gold. For the moment, an eternity, it must have seemed to the others standing by, I was struck dumb with amazement. And when Lord Carnarvon, unable to stand in suspense any longer, inquired anxiously, 'Can you see anything?' It was all I could do to get out the words, 'Yes, wonderful things.'" That's from Tutankhamun and the Glint of Gold, Diary, 26 November 1922, from wikiquote.org. This was Carter's record of the first look at the tomb of Pharaoh Tutankhamun, who ruled during the 18th dynasty, dying at the young age of 19. Not just statues and gold, but there was the boy king's sarcophagus, his death mask, and his mummy. When I was a kid, there was a tour of the treasure found in Ramses' tomb. In a nearby city, my parents took me to see it. People can't seem to get enough of dead ancient Egyptian royalty. So much that they disregard respect for the dead and their customs, because people have got to see this for themselves. Even though the care in preparing the tombs was not for the public and was clearly sacred, is it possible there could be something to the curse of the mummy? In an article by Brian Handwerk, published by National Geographic on January 21st, 2017, he writes, 100-year-old folklore and pop culture have perpetuated the myth that opening a mummy's tomb leads to certain death. Tut's glittering treasures made great headlines, especially following the opening of the burial chamber on February 16, 1923. And so did sensationalistic accounts of the subsequent death of expedition sponsor Lord Carnarvon. In reality, Carnarvon died of blood poisoning, and only 6 of the 26 people present when the tomb was opened died within a decade. Carter, surely any curse's prime target, lived until 1939, almost 20 years after the tomb's opening. This came from nationalgeographic.com/distribution/public/AMP/history/article/curse-of-the-mummy. Maybe King Tut wasn't interested in cursing anybody if he had already gotten to where he was intending to go 3,000 years ago. Quote, "I read once that the ancient Egyptians had 50 words for sand, and the Eskimos had 100 words for snow," unquote, from Brian Andres on Goodreads. About the sand in Egypt. This is a quote from Chapter 13, Coatings on Sand Grains from Southwestern Egypt, by Farouk Elbaz, National Air and Space Museum, Smithsonian Institution, Washington, D.C. This was a repository from the Smithsonian, which is si.edu. Quote, sands from the western desert of Egypt vary considerably in composition. Microscopic studies of samples from various parts of the desert have revealed that they are composed of at least 40% quartz. Various amounts of calcareous grains, including chalk, limestone, dolomite, marl, and calcite, heavy minerals including glauconite, phosphates, hornblende, shale, and gypsum, reference to Elbaz and others, 1979b. Although these different minerals cause variations in the overall sand color, it is nonetheless believed that the color of the quartz grains themselves can be an indication of the time of exposure and distance from the sand source. Unquote. Zahi Hawass is the Secretary General of Egypt's Supreme Council of Antiquities. Here he is as seen on the PBS special, King Tut, that was posted to YouTube by Daryl Kinson, starting right around 4 minutes into the video. This clip is shared under fair use.
And a world-renowned archaeologist.
The thinking of afterlife built ancient Egypt. Built Egypt, in my opinion. Without that, you will never see the pyramids. It is the belief of the afterlife who made everyone in ancient Egypt to work for the national project. The national project was building a pyramid or building a tomb.
And as for Zahi Hawass, he never believed in the curse of the pharaohs. The monuments were a great big giant beacon attracting attention. Over here! Giving directions to potential looters. Go here to find treasure. In the Valley of the Kings, marked by a peak that has the shape of a pyramid, tombs were more hidden. Despite secrecy and spells, some of the tombs were still robbed. All of these details about Egypt, mummies, and curses. Just where am I going with this? As mentioned, have you heard of Mummy Brown? If your skin is beginning to crawl, it's for a good reason. This is the name of a color of paint. Couldn't they have just called it sand brown? Maybe sandstorm tan? Flooded Nile soil. Something else? Nope. Mummy is the word for this rich brown paint. There's no getting around it. The pigment for mummy brown, aka Egyptian brown paint, was literally made up of ground up Egyptian mummies, both humans and cats. Who thought this was a good idea? Who decided ground-up mummies should be considered pharmaceutical, let alone be blended into paint as pigment? Terrible idea. When Edward Burne Jones, a pre-Raphaelite, found out the source of the pigment, he gave his tube of paint a proper burial in his garden. Good man. The paint, mummy brown, made from mummies, was popular in Europe in the 1800s. I have some quotes from the article A Pigment from the Depths by R. Leopoldina Torres, October 31st, 2013, from harvardartmuseums.org. Quote, in 1904, the London firm C. Robertson advertised in the Daily Mail that we require a mummy for making color. Surely a 2,000-year-old mummy of an Egyptian monarch may be used for adorning a noble fresco, without giving offense to the ghost of the departed gentleman or his descendants. Woodcock, 1996, unquote. It took me a minute to absorb what I had just read. In fact, I had gone on to other research and had to go back and find it. The laissez-faire, in French, let-it-be attitude, or commonly used, at least in the U.S. or Utah, of whatever, that scopes the you-do-you sort of vibe is so lacking of understanding for the people whose graves were being disturbed and their bodies turned into an unstable pigment and sold? Quote, surely a 2,000-year-old mummy of an Egyptian monarch may be used for adorning a noble fresco without giving offense to the ghost of the departed gentleman or his descendants. Unquote. Wow, my peeps. I know we all say things we regret, sometimes more than others, and some of these things haunt us. Maybe this was one of those instances. I wonder what people would have done if their own cemeteries had become the target of a paint-making firm when they ran out of mummies. So what is the paint actually made of? This is from the same article, quote, rich pigment varying in hue from burnt to raw umber, made primarily from white pitch, myrrh, and ground up ancient Egyptians and their pets. So beyond horrible. And from Time magazine, about why they stopped making it? No, this is a quote from as recent a time as 1964. Quote, C. Robertson discontinued Mummy Brown in 1964. Managing director Jeffrey Robertson-Park told Time magazine they had run out of mummies. Quote, we might have a few odd limbs lying around somewhere, but not enough to make any more paint. Time, 1964, unquote. I am picking up my poor shocked eyeballs and popping them back into my head. We have dug up the disturbing story of many desecrated mummies of ancient Egyptians and their feline friends who were meant to be undisturbed. It's not just a ghost story, but the terrifying reality of mummy brown paint. Quote, a few odd limbs. Unquote. The color mummy brown has a seriously haunting story. This has been part one on unhealthy colors from the Whispering Gallery podcast. I'll be back soon with part two, where we delve into reds, blues, and other gnarly colors like green, containing things that are just not good for you. And remember, keep your flashlights close, but your spooky art stories closer while in the Whispering Gallery. Take care, and I'll talk to you soon.